and welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast that is all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument. So my name is Emily Dolan Davies. I am a drummer by trade, and I do many other things because if you follow me for any amount of time, you'll know that I kind of like variety in my life. But anyway, let's talk about today's episode. And in all honesty, I can't believe it's taken me this long to address this subject, because again, if you know me, you'll know how passionate I am about this. So let's talk about food and specifically food when you're touring on the road, basically, because I mean, I think it's something that when you first start touring, you really don't realise how, well, I didn't realise, I can only talk about myself, obviously, but I didn't realise how important it was to really concentrate on food, eating good food, nutrition whilst on the road. And I've been touring since 2008, and I've been through a journey when it comes to food. Yeah, like anyone that knows, I adore food, I love cooking, and whenever I go on the road, it's one of the things that I miss the most, because I feel like when everything else is chaotic, cooking will bring me back and center me. It's a great joy in my life. I especially love cooking for other people. I love like bringing joy to other people through food. It's one of my favorite things in the world. But yeah, it's one of the things that I miss the most when I'm on the road. So anyway, I realized this when I started touring back in 2008 with the hours. And back then it wasn't even a consideration. You know, I was so busy just concentrating on doing a good job as a drummer. That was my main focus, as it should have been, you know, absolutely. And of course it still is. However, the more that you tour, the more you do anything really, you realize that there's these other peripheral things that you can start concentrating on, because you're doing your job, because you've just done it for a long time, and you know, then you want to start. Well, personally, I like to try and maximize whatever I'm doing, and as it turns out, food, massive part of that. Like eating well on the road, huge part of doing a good job, you know, of just, yeah, playing a good show every night and being in a good headspace, and all that sort of stuff really, for me, ties into food. It also ties into other things, which I may touch on, but probably not. But yeah, that's kind of my main crux, and I enjoy centering my day around food, which I know loads of musicians are exactly the same. You know, you get to a venue and the first thing anyone wants to know is, where do I go for breakfast? It's always the first question, either coffee or breakfast, like, just feed me, please. I mean, I'm sure it harks back to when we're all coming up and, you know, you sometimes do gigs literally to just get fed, because, you know, you're not getting paid, but they say, oh yeah, but we'll give you dinner. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll come do that. Like, it's just the desperation of like, just let me eat so I can play my instrument and then I'll figure out tomorrow. But anyway, I digress. So I've had many stages of sort of eating, if you like, many experiences of it. And like I say, early days, it was kind of not a consideration. When I was with the hours, that was a very fortunate situation, because it was a very cushy gig in a lot of respects. So I didn't really need to think about that. The other guys on the road were very seasoned, and they also really enjoyed food. So that was kind of taken care of. But the first kind of tour that I remember getting it wrong 100% was in 2011. Yes, 2011. I always get this year wrong. I don't know why. 2011, I was touring with Tricky. And that was, we did tours around South America. We did tours around Europe, did some UK stuff, did a gig in Outer Mongolia. Yeah, did some Asia stuff. And that tour, or those tours, I should say, it was a year's worth of touring, I definitely did not prioritize food on those tours. And I know this because I look back at pictures and I look so skinny, not in a good way, like in a kind of, not malnourished, that's a step too far, but I definitely wasn't eating enough. I wasn't eating right. I have vague memory. I mean, my memory is horrendous, but I do have vague memories of what I was eating, and it was not good. Like, there was a lot of deep fried stuff. Like, I don't know how I was functioning, to be honest. And after every show, I would be exhausted. I mean, there were other factors that led into me being exhausted as well. The nature of the gig was very intense. It was very emotional. I loved it in so many ways, but it was hard. It was a tough gig, and a tough year of touring. But anyway, so yes, that year, 2011, definitely did not get it right. Definitely did not get it right. So yeah, I'm going a bit Goldilocks here, by the way. So on the Tricky Door, 2011, definitely ate too little. Not good. And then in, let's talk about, 2017, I think, I was out with Howard Jones. Now on this tour, I went way the other way. I was eating too much. That tour, or those tours that year, were mainly catered. And there was just beautiful food always on show. And I was in a headspace of like, again, it's this kind of back in the day, like coming up as a musician, you'd be given beautiful food and it's just like, and treats, nice treats. And you'd look at it and you'd just go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I need to eat as much as I can because we don't know what catering will be like tomorrow. It might not be good, so I might not eat much tomorrow, so I should eat a lot now. All this kind of like rationalization in my brain. Very, very bad. You know, we're all very good at rationalizing the choices that we make in life, I think. We'll always find a way to make it rational. And I definitely learned on that tour that I was very good at rationalizing donuts and cakes and fun things like that. So that was, I mean, you know, it wasn't to excess, but it kind of was for me. And I was going on stage and I was feeling sluggish and just generally quite tired, and it wasn't great. I'd sort of would go on stage not necessarily feeling great in myself, which isn't great when you're about to, you know, do a hour and a half, 2 hour performance. Like, you want to feel, come on, let's go. And I wasn't feeling like that. Also, after the gigs, we would also get post-gig pizza, which, like, there's definitely a thing, I've sort of read about it a lot, where you can have like decision fatigue, and at the end of a day, say, your willpower is massively lower than the beginning of the day because you're tired. Now, when you've had a full day of, like, you know, doing whatever you're doing, doing a sound check, you know, hanging out and then doing a gig, you're knackered. So when someone goes, here, lovely pizza, everything in me just goes, yes, I want that in my body right now, even if I'm not hungry, which is ridiculous, but that's how, you know, I'm wired. That's how I know a lot of people are wired. So it is what it is, as they say. So that was the Howard Jones tour. And like I say, I was eating much too much. I did not feel good. That was, yeah, too much Goldilocks, too much. Anyway, I kind of hit upon a really nice balance. And that was in, well, from 2018 up until now, which is with the Kim Wilde gig. And it's because of the nature of that gig, there's many different ways that we tour, which means that I've kind of created a whole bunch of different ways to eat well, which means nutritionally eating well, but also not denying the kind of the nice bits, the treats or whatever, because at the end of the day, treats are awesome and they're great for morale, as a very wise man told me, and I continue to tell myself, you know, sometimes you do need a bit of morale. So, but then I account for that in how I sort of deal with my day-to-day touring, if you like. So anyway, I'm going to go through the sort of different types of touring that there are, and the food stuffs available, and how I sort of deal with that, because there's many different factors, and I'm kind of putting them into three buckets, if you like, although, you know, every tour is slightly different. So the first type of tour, as I mentioned before, is a catered tour. So this is where you rock up to a venue, and there's, again, there's types of catered tours. You can either have a catering company that will tour with you, which is one type of touring, which is good because you can kind of talk to the caterers if they find out what you like and stuff like that, or what you want to be eating. It can be very tailored to what everyone's needs are, which is great. That's kind of like the gold-plated standard. I've done a couple of tours like that. They are phenomenal. They're some of my favourites. I basically just go in, hi, can I like jerk chicken. Can we have jerk chicken today? And again, that's me going, oh, I just want, you know, the lovely stuff. But anyway, I've done a couple of tours like that. They've been great. But the more types of tours that I've done are the ones where you go into a venue and the venue puts on the catering. So you literally are going in blind. And as I mentioned before, what that means is it can be anything that's being on offer. And sometimes it can be, like, if you're touring Europe, for instance, they are great at kind of having a lot of variety of stuff, you know, beautiful salads, you know, nice meats or veg or, you know, like, on the whole, beautiful, like really, really nice. However, there's another end to that, another extreme, which is sometimes I've been to gigs. There's one in particular I'm thinking of. I will not say the venue, I will not say the artist. We got there and catering was chicken nuggets and chips. That was it. For like, how many of us were there? There must have been about 40 of us on the road. And a lot of the people on the road were vegan. So that wasn't ideal. It was awful. And it was just like, we were in the middle of nowhere. It was just like, oh, this is what we've got. Like, what are we going to do? Don't get me wrong. I don't mind chicken nuggets and chips occasionally. However, when that's the only thing on offer for the whole day and you've got to do a gig, not ideal. Not ideal. Oh. Apparently I'm getting an Amazon package today. That's nice. Catering can be a beautiful thing. It can be a heinous thing. Sorry, that's such an extreme word. But yeah, it's a massive luxury to be on a catered tour. And the way that I sort of deal with it, the sort of extremes that happen like that, where it can be. Because the other thing, when you have like a whole smorgasbord of beautiful things, personally, I want to eat a bit of everything because, again, I just love food. I love variety. It's just like, oh, it gets me excited. But consequently, I tend to overeat if I have that as an option. So the way that I personally deal with that is that I basically, I do something called intermittent fasting. I wouldn't, it's not that I'm not recommending it, but obviously look into it. If you think it's interesting, go find out more. I am not any sort of professional to be telling anyone about any sort of nutrition at all. It works really well for me. So I basically have a window that I eat in. It's an 8-hour window. It's generally from on the road, actually. It's usually from about 2 p.m. till 10 p.m. or around about maybe 3 till 11. It's basically so that I can eat something post-gig if I want to. So I'll start my day just having a coffee and then I'll do some exercise as well. So I sort of get my preliminary actions out of the way, so I know that when it hits, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever, I allow myself to eat whatever I want, because I know that I'm in this sort of like window of time. I know that that works for me. It keeps my weight in a nice place. It keeps my energy levels in a nice place. Obviously the exercise helps with my energy levels too, and it just works for me. It's something that I've worked out over many years, along with my friend Jonathan Atkinson. We both are like the intermittent fasting buddies and exercise buddies, and yeah, we love it. We absolutely love it. But again, like, go do your own research. And I will say that the book that got us onto it was, it's called The Obesity Code by, I want to say, Jason Fung. I might have that wrong, but it's definitely called The Obesity Code. So go check out that book if you're interested in that kind of subject. It's interesting. It's a fascinating area of study. And yeah, I find it fascinating. But again, I'm not saying it's for everyone. Absolutely not. There are a lot of health issues that can come with it, depending on your starting point. Anyway, I digress. So that is how I handle catered tours, and as I say, I love them because there's often lovely sweet treats like donuts on show. But I kind of I try to make sure that I'm in a good enough place that I can indulge in those sorts of things. And I also, you know, I do the thing of rewarding myself or having treats. So if it's a roadie Friday, as we call it, so any day that's the end of a batch of gigs and the next day's a day off, then I will allow myself like some treats, because it's like, yeah, it's roadie Friday. And I don't really drink either, so it's kind of like that's my version of drinking. Drinking alcohol, I should say. I think that's a given. Anyway, so that is catered touring. Again, so much fun. Love catered touring. It's so fun. So the next kind of touring is non-catered. Now, I've broken these down into two types because they are very different. The first is non-catered on a tour bus. Now, this is the one that I have the least experience in, and therefore I find the most difficult. And the reason for that is because obviously you're on a tour bus together, so you generally have a kitchen. I've never not been on a tour bus that you haven't had a kitchen. So you generally have a kitchen, it'll have like a fridge, maybe a freezer sometimes. Yeah, in fact, yeah. And then like microwave and a sink. That's kind of the basics, and you know, you may have other stuff depending on the bus or whatever, and the country as well, because they do vary country to country. But anyway, so that's kind of what you've got to work with. But then you've got the extra element of the fact that you're with another 11 people on a bus, or another 15 people on a bus, depending, or less, obviously. But what that means is, obviously, it's a communal space, it's a communal kitchen. It's not conducive to kind of making food unless everyone's off the bus. You also don't want to ever make anything that smells, because you don't want to stink up the bus. Don't be microwaving any fish or something silly like that. The other sort of factor with that is you're arriving in a place that you just, you don't know where you're going to be. You could be, like this gig where we had chicken nuggets and chips, you could be in the middle of nowhere and it's just like, oh, what do I do? Like, I have no idea what to do. So when it comes to that sort of stuff, personally, I just try and plan in advance as much as I can. So I will look where the next venue is. I will look and see if there are any like local shops or any restaurants. Here's a little tip. Check the opening times of the restaurants that are local to your gig, because the number of times we've rolled into cities and literally everything is closed, whether it's like during the week and we're trying to get breakfast or lunch and they only open for dinner, or whether it's like a Sunday and things are closed, or a Monday, even worse, things are really closed on a Monday. It's just, if you don't plan ahead, you can really, and the thing is, by the time you're getting off the bus and wanting to get something to eat, everyone's really hungry probably, and probably tired as well, because that's the general way of touring. You're just perpetually tired. And my stomach's starting to rumble because I'm talking about food. So yeah, try and like think ahead, plan ahead. That's what I try and do. I'm lucky in that a lot of the people that I tour with have as much of an obsession about food as I do. So they will also often like do some research ahead of time, be like, right, I found this place, I reckon that'd be good, should we go there? Which is wicked. So it's great when you're on the road with similarly minded people. Shout out Beto! So the other thing is, obviously, say you do rock up to a city and you're surrounded by, you know, nice fresh produce, all that sort of stuff, like salads or just anything that you just think, yeah, this is good food for me, fruit, all that sort of stuff, just stock up a little bit, just put a little bit in the fridge. Obviously, don't overdo it. Obviously, stuff goes off. There was one tour. I'm like, should I say this? Again, I'm not going to mention anything about the artist or the situation or anything, but there was one tour where the first day of this American tour, we all got on the bus, and one of the people on the bus bought a watermelon. I don't know why they bought a watermelon. Anyway, and this watermelon just lived on the bus for this American tour. Nobody ate it, and it gradually just rotted. And it was just like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand what's happening. It wasn't great, but again, it's the thing of living communally and just being aware of other people's kind of preference, and, you know, just not putting rotting stuff on the bus. It's not cool, it's not big, it's not clever. Like I say, that I'd say is the hardest type of touring for me. Again, it's because it's the way that I've done it the least, because it's just how it's been, which I feel very lucky for. So let's go on to the third one, which is my favorite. So in terms of food at least, and that is tour bus touring, but with hotel rooms, or I should say, no, sorry, not tour bus touring, non-catered touring, but with hotel rooms. Now this can be with tour buses, this can be with splitters, this can be flying in. Flying in isn't ideal, like fly in, fly out, but anyway, I'll go into that. But yeah, sort of longer tours, but with hotel rooms. Now, let's talk about this. This is my favorite. I'd say, is this the most touring I've done? No, probably not, but it's definitely my favorite. So, This is my favourite because I've managed to find creative ways to essentially cook on the road, which not only satisfies my need for food and half decent food, hopefully at most times, but also my need to cook on the road, which just, it, like I say, it just centres me. It makes me happy. I just love food so much. What can I tell you? So, again, this is where you don't have catering, but you do have a hotel room. Now, I'd say the majority of the time when you're staying in hotels, and it's not all the time, you're often around kind of like supermarkets or whatever, which is great, which means you can get hold of fresh produce. Now let's talk about cooking when you're in a hotel room. So there's three ways that I've found that are really good for cooking. Well, good, maybe not good, but these are my top three, and let's start with number three. So the first one is when you're just doing a one-off show, and you know, you want to take a small bag, so it's no big thing, and that is going and just using the kettle that's in the room. And again, this is mainly sort of UK, European touring. I need to take a break soon. So this is mainly, touring where you've got a kettle in the room. Sometimes American hotels don't have that because it's kind of not part of the culture to have a kettle. That might seem strange to people from the UK and Europe, but it's just the way it is. But let's assume that you have a kettle. Kettles are wonderful. So first of all, you can do basic things like essentially a pot noodle or a soba noodle, you know, the noodle cup type things. They're brilliant, but the way that I do them is I will get hold of a bunch of fresh veg. I will put those in the noodle cup when I'm putting the hot water in, so it kind of steams the vegetables and you end up having all this lovely fresh veg that goes with the noodles. You know, it's not the best thing to eat, but equally it's not the worst thing to eat, and you get a little bit of nutrition, which is really good. Another thing that I see people do, I think I tried it once, I wasn't feeling it, so I haven't done it since because it's a bit weird, and because it's not my kettle, I feel a bit weird doing it. Some people will boil eggs in the kettle as well, so you can do hard-boiled eggs. So this is kind of good as a very basic way to tour with something that is literally just in the room. And again, obviously if you're going to the shops, you can also get a salad and get fresh fruit, all that sort of stuff. It's kind of a given. I'm kind of taking that as a given. So that's fine. That's a good one to know about. I also have seen people that do like grilled cheese sandwiches with like an iron and stuff, but I don't know, it's too much for me. I'm a bit weird about using irons, and I'm clumsy. I can envisage bad things happening, so I need to stick with things that aren't going to burn the hotel down, basically. So let's get on to my second one. So this one I discovered in 2013. I discovered it through my sister, who was touring with Disney on Ice. And basically the way they run their tours are they stay in an area for a week at a time. They usually have 2 days off, and then they do like 5 days of shows. Sometimes they have 3 shows on 1 day. Unbelievable. Anyway, they are legendary, all those lots. But they are pros at cooking in hotel rooms, especially in the States. Now what they have over there, which I managed to find one over here, but they weren't that common, I think they're more common now, are electric skillets. So what that essentially is a frying pan that you plug in, and this was an absolute revelation for me. And like I said, I first kind of started using this in 2013 when I was on the road with Janet Devlin. It was awesome. It was so good. I would be making things like breakfast, and I would say to people like, does anyone want any breakfast? Like, I've just made up like all this fry up and stuff, especially when people were hungry. Oh yeah. I'd sort of like, I'd take these little bowls and I'd sort of like just give them to them, like, oh, there you go, like, yeah. And I, as I say, I love making food for people. It just, it brings me so much joy and so much happiness. So to be able to do that was like really good. So, you know, in that skillet, you can do, like I say, fried stuff. You can also like make rice. You can also do, I remember there was a specific dish that I was cooking a lot at the time, which was like this quinoa thing cooked in coconut water with kale. It was taught to me by Bridget Amofa. Shout out to you. I was making that on the road, and it felt like I was just healthy for the first time on the road, and I had a bit of control over what I was eating. It was just so wonderful. I just really, really enjoyed it so much. Ah, it just made me so happy. So that was one of them. The only problem with the skillet is that it does emit a bit of smoke sometimes. And obviously, you don't want to get the smoke detector going off, because the other thing is, it's pretty easy to smell when someone's been cooking in the room. And that's a Disney thing, like that you're just, generally speaking, you're not meant to cook food in hotel rooms. That's kind of the rule. But anyway, I hope no one's listening to this that would enforce that on me. But so the skillet is fine and it was good. The only thing I would also say is quite bulky. So not ideal for kind of shorter tours or tours where luggage is an issue at all, basically. But I did enjoy the skillet thing. However, I did retire it after maybe a year, 2 years. And I was like, yeah, this isn't quite right. So let's go on to my third. Sorry, this is such a long episode, but you know me, I love food. So the third and my favorite option is a rice maker. Yeehaw indeed. So yeah, a rice maker. That is the perfect, again, if you want to talk about Goldilocks situation, that is just right for me, at least. So you can buy these rice cookers that are single serving or for two people, basically. In fact, I'd get a two person one because I'll explain why. And the brilliant thing about a rice maker, it's a glorified giant kettle, essentially. But the brilliant thing is you can make so many things in it. So obviously rice, it's kind of in the name, but you can also do things like porridge, which is great for like breakfast, obviously. You can steam vegetables, you can cook meat in it, you can do eggs, there's so many things that you can do. Again, my stomach is just going, I'm gonna have to eat some lunch after this. But yeah, there are so many things that you can make in a rice maker. And I think the first time I took a rice maker on tour probably was The Darkness, I think. So yeah, that maybe, yeah, it must have been. So that would have been 2015, 2016. My memory is so bad. I think it was 2015. 2014? No, we recorded the album in 2014, which means it would have been 2015. Yes. That's when I was taking the rice cooker on the road, and that was an absolute game changer. And from that point on, I've been taking whenever it's a tour that's like longer than a few days, so up, you know, a few days to, I don't know, 2 months or whatever, I will often take a rice cooker on tour with me if we don't have catering. And it just brings a sense of control to what I'm eating, which, as you know, I'm a bit of a control freak. I'm trying to get better, but also to just know that I'm gonna feel good in myself nutritionally. And you know, I do all the exercise, I try to sleep well, all that sort of stuff, which is hard, by the way, on the road, sleeping on the road. That should be a whole episode on itself, however, I don't have the answer for that, because yeah, I still struggle with that. But anyway, a rice cooker is just the golden ticket for me. I, you know, this last lot of touring that I did with Kim Wilde, I was doing that every day on the UK tour. It was brilliant. I would, you know, work out, then go to the shops and just pick up whatever I fancied for lunch and dinner. It was awesome. And it was just like, right, yeah, well, today I'm gonna have, you know, sometimes I wouldn't even have rice. I often would, because I love rice. It's one of my favorite foods. So it'd be like, yeah, a bit of rice, and I'm gonna have like some asparagus, and let's get some broccoli, and I might have a bit of fish. And it was just, I could have something slightly different every day. And as long as there was somewhere that sold some sort of fresh produce, I was golden. Oh, the other thing, I will always take a little bag of different spices, like my favorite kind of spices and stuff like that. Salt, pepper, garlic, paprika, maybe some, I don't know, oregano. It just depends like what I'm feeling at the time. And yeah, and I just do that every day and just stick it on to cook, and there we go. Like, usually in the venue, which again, depending, if it was only one dressing room, I'd try not to cook in the dressing room because I don't want to stink it out. But yeah, sometimes I would just cook it in the corridor or whatever, like just try and make it so it's not offensive to people's noses. I'm sure that I did offend some people's noses occasionally, and I apologize. And also, like I say, great for in hotel rooms. We do this one, tour where we stay in one hotel and then sort of satellite out every day. So I'd be cooking in my room every day there with that. That was last year with Kim. Now, what I will say with that is that, again, similar to the skillet situation, although it is essentially a giant kettle, so it's just steam, it still sometimes does set off smoke detectors. So if you are doing that, then put it by a window. If your windows open in your hotel, hopefully they do. If they don't, this is going to sound gross, but it works. Cook in the bathroom. It sounds gross, I know, it works. Also, putting a sock over the smoke detector helps. I will say the number of socks that I've accidentally left on smoke detectors in hotel rooms is slightly embarrassing. But what can I say? At least I'm not smoking. I'm just cooking some food. I'm just making some rice. It's just like boiling a kettle. This is how, again, I rationalize it to myself, because we all rationalize stuff to make things happy. So make us happy, rather. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so that's kind of how I deal with food on the road. Sorry, this has been a bit of a rambling episode, but it is possible to kind of get good, nutritious food if you just sort of do a bit of forward planning. I actually find it really fun. I find it a really creative endeavor, like planning for the next tour, like, oh, how am I going to eat? Right, where are we going? Let's look at the kind of shops that are going to be around the venues or the hotels, and let's plan for that. Like, I really enjoy it. And again, it brings a bit of variety to each of my days rather than, you know, eating the same things over and over again, because it's so easy to get stuck in that kind of cycle of just eating sandwiches from, you know, service stations or whatever. And it doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't make you feel inspired, not only nutritionally, but just in yourself. Like, if you love food, if you don't and you just want to eat to fuel yourself, that's slightly different. Then I'd suggest doing things like Huel, and, you know, like meal replacement stuff is quite good for like protein and for nutrition. It kind of works. It doesn't work for me. I find it incredibly bland and boring. It doesn't bring joy to my life. So I'd rather just pack this little rice cooker and just go, right, what am I going to cook today? I love it, even thinking about it. Right, I think I'm going to have to go and eat some lunch. But I hope that you are having a nice day. I hope that this has inspired you in some way to kind of like eat well on your next tour or next run of shows. Again, things like the rice cooker you can take even for single shows. This is the other thing. I've also got a heated lunchbox, which is a new thing that I've got, which is great for rehearsals. But anyway, I'll talk about that another time maybe. But I'm still working that one out. That's quite a new bit of kit to me, but it's really exciting. Anyway, sorry, I'm going to go down another tangent, which I did not plan to go down, so I won't. But I hope that this has helped you in some way in thinking about food on the road and just generally to kind of keep you at your best, so you're playing the best gigs that you can. I hope you're having a lovely day. And if you did enjoy this episode, please feel free to like, share and subscribe. Also, if you want to go the extra mile and support what I'm putting out there, then you now can on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, you can become a Patreon, you can get early access to episodes, you can join me on Zoom hangs, we can chat about anything you want, basically, including food. And if you want to hear more about this heated lunchbox thing, I'd love to tell you about it. But yeah, like I say, if you want to do all the extra stuff, you can now do that. Anyway, I hope you're having a great day and enjoying whatever you're up to right now. And I hope you join me again next time for another episode. All right, lots of love. See you later. Bye. Eat well. Bye-bye.